The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning, a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topic
and asks what you think.
So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And a good morning, everybody, on this Wednesday, the 25th day of April 2018. Good morning to the listener landscape at 6:60 a.m. The Answer up here in DFW at Freedom 1160 San Antonio. Spurs go down last night. It was a brave fight. Warriors prevail. Hey, the rest of the NBA landscape lies ahead. So I wanted to throw some love to the Spurs at the end of their season for our listener friends down in San Antonio. Returning up here to the DFW area, we need to send our best wishes, our thoughts, and our prayers to two people whose names have been announced. They're Crystal Almeida and Rogelio Santander. These are the two Dallas police officers who were shot and critically wounded in the shooting at the Home Depot store in North Dallas at 75 and Forest. This unfolded as afternoon turned to evening, and the video images were stunning last night as police officers gathered at the hospital to look over officers Almeida and Santander, both of whom are three-year veterans of the department. They came through the academy together. They knew each other. And once it was clear that there was a I need a definition of terms sometimes. What is the exact difference between a suspect and a person of interest? Is that a distinction without a difference? I guess suspect means we absolutely believe you did something. A person of interest just means we're not quite sure, but we're coming for you anyway, and we'll ask questions later. Anyway, that is 29-year-old Armando Juarez, and he is in custody. He shot three people, the third person we don't know the identity of. That is, here's another interesting and curious term, the loss prevention employee at Home Depot. In other words, the employee whose job it is to try to keep shoplifting under control. And that was the source of curiosity for Mr. Juarez. And he had some warrants on him and apparently thought, you know, I don't think I want to be taken into custody. And hey, I've got a loaded weapon here at Home Depot. So as the cops close in on me, I'm going to shoot them. Yeah, let's see how that works out for Mr. Juarez. What we're interested in most is how it works out for that Home Depot employee, again, whose identity we do not yet know. All three of these folks went through some surgery last night. The surgery is over. Recovery is underway. I don't know what the prospects exactly for recovery are, but the DPD officers, again, are Crystal Almeida and Rogelio Santander. Please lift them up in prayer this morning as we do everyone who wears the uniform of every law enforcement jurisdiction within the sound of my voice and our broadcast. And God bless these people. I come to work every morning and I do a radio show. Maybe you go to work every morning and you teach a class. Maybe you practice law. Maybe you put shingles on a roof. Maybe you do landscaping. Maybe you're an accountant. Maybe you're 5,000 things that I could name. Officers Crystal Almeida and Rogelio Santander went to work yesterday wearing the uniform of the Dallas Police, and they took bullets yesterday to keep our community safe. May God lift them up. May God watch over their friends, their family, their loved ones, and give them a return to health. So that is the first thing that we do. In a moment, Marcus Moore, who used to be a reporter for Channel 8 and then got booted upstairs to the ABC network, they have properly sent him back home to cover this story, and I'll do that for you. Rebecca Lopez at Channel 8 also did some fantastic work last night. Also, on the things we'll talk about, did you catch the budding bromance there between President Trump and French President Emmanuel Macron? They are interesting peas in a pod in some ways, and yet substantially politically different. This is one of the great gifts of Trump. He relates to people in a way that is so vastly different than the usual ways, and in certain ways that transcend ideology. Emmanuel Macron is the president of France. It's France. It's Europe. They probably don't really necessarily agree on a whole lot in terms of the respective domestic policies of their respective nations. But they want to get along well in terms of trade. They want to get along well to beat down ISIS. France is overrun by jihadists, as is Germany, as is the United Kingdom, as are a number of European nations, as is much of Scandinavia, because they're just not paying attention to who's coming in. There's an interesting difference of opinion. For some reason, President Macron wants the United States to remain in the Iran nuclear deal. That's not going to happen. So they're going to have to get past that. But, you know, if President Trump can cobble a path toward a summit meeting with Kim Jong-un, apparently within the coming weeks, I mean, usually a summit like this is announced. And it's like, well, we'll get to that in like January of 2019. Nope, we're talking June. Like, okay, and where's that thing gonna be? So if that's possible, if the nuts and bolts can be assembled for a summit meeting with the North Korean dictator, I think we can find a way to get along well with our European allies, our supposed allies, and those alliances are showing up quite inspiringly, because it was France that joined the United States and the United Kingdom in the Syrian airstrikes. And President Macron seems to be an interesting, pragmatic guy. He has many good things to say about President Trump. They seem comfortable with each other almost to a fault. As when President Trump flicked what appeared to dandruff or some asbestos from the ceiling, I have no idea, flicked a little something off President Macron's $1,500 suit, and we want him to be perfect. He's perfect. He is perfect. It's just this wonderful relatability to people that is different than anything we've ever seen, and so it was very, very nice. And and Melania is just in her element. She is, we've been thinking a lot about first ladies of late, having lost Barbara Bush. President Bush, President Bush 41, remains in the hospital. His spokespeople are undertaking, I think, a very wise path. As the world, I won't say expects George H.W. Bush to just go ahead and be with Barbara any day now, although that is certainly a possibility, and it is something that absolutely happens quite often. The first word that there was that this infection that it had worked its way through his bloodstream was getting better. And there's one quote that came out of Bush World that said that the president is looking forward very much to getting out of the hospital and heading to Maine to spend some days as spring turns to summer, whenever it stops snowing in Maine. That would be a wonderful thing, and I hope that happens. If that is in God's plan, it will happen. If it is in God's plan to bring President Bush home as well, then that will happen. But the spokesfolks have said essentially, you know what, we're not going to say anything. We're not going to release daily reports. We're not going to release hourly reports. We'll let you know when there's news, and that seems smart. There's news on Ronny Jackson, and it's not good. I really like this guy. I like when he did the news conference, talked about how healthy President Trump was. You know, if he improved some habits, he could live to be 200, et cetera, et cetera. He had been the doctor to other presidents. Obama loved him. But wow, the multiple strikes against him as he faces hearings to be the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, an enormous bureaucracy. The strikes against Ronny Jackson are that he lorded over a hostile work environment, whatever that even means anymore, that he was tossing around prescriptions like candy on some long international flights to keep some folks awake and let some folks sleep. That's not good, right? You know, does that make him Dr. Nick in the world of Elvis? I don't know, but it's not good. And here's the one that's really not good. Apparently, a lot of on-the-clock drinking. Apparently sufficiently looped up that he was banging on some woman's door in a hotel, you know, during the Obama administration, right? And they were concerned that the banging on the door might wake up the president. You know, boom, 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 he's trying to get into some woman's hotel room. Or so the story goes. So as I said yesterday, one of two things is happening here, and neither one of them's good. Either A, Ronnie Jackson is a really flawed figure and really needs to not be the head of the Department of Veterans Affairs, or there are people who are lying about him in an attempt to smear him and ruin his name. Which of those is true? I don't know. I guess we just have to wait and see how these things press forward. President Trump, amid all the meetings with Macron yesterday, had a wonderful quote, said, "I wouldn't do it." With all this stuff, President Trump essentially saying, if you're Ronnie Jackson, he might withdraw himself. But if he chooses to stay in, I'll back him. I'll have his back. Okay. So there is that. 866-660-5759. Let's do some calls because I confess to a certain reaction, and a caller had it too. So there's a ton of officers at the hospital as the in a vigil for officers Crystal Almeida and Rogelio Santander. Totally understand that. And then apparently all the radios crackle to life. Hey, we found this guy, Armando Juarez, and the chase is on. Car chase underway. The chase went through downtown Dallas. He was shooting at officers during the pursuit. The chase ended after Juarez drove through several yards on Versailles Avenue in Highland Park near Love Field, and then a swarm of police officers converged as he was taken into custody. By this time, it's 9:15, 9:20, and the other networks are in prime time, but I know Fox 4 has got some local news on, so I flipped over to that, and the screen just burst to life with the red and blue of what looked like a jillion cop cars. So in Dallas, Kevin is here with a thought or two about that imagery. Welcome, sir. How you doing?
How you doing?
I'm good.
No disrespect to the officers, because I've been in that situation where you want to respond because of a fallen officer, mm-hmm. brother officer, or multiple officers that was shot. Okay. However, what if it was the wrong guy in the truck while the pursuit was going on, and the real suspect was actually fleeing in a different direction? Or what if some other criminals saw this going on and decided that this would be the perfect opportunity on the other side of Dallas mm-hmm. to commit some stick-ups or a murder or some burglaries? And you had the whole Dallas Police Department that was on duty over there at the scene.
Or so it seemed. And so we're the official cops talk show, so I'd love some feedback on this, because I thought the same thing. Not so much the first one. What if they ID'd the wrong truck? That's always a possibility, and one presumes that the intel is good enough. First of all, pictures of the truck were everywhere, so I think the great likelihood was they certainly did have the right guy. But now we get to the second point you make, which is, if every cop in Dallas is in that police chase, is it possible people are sitting in their apartment, in the northeast quadrant of Dallas, thinking, man, this might be a good time to rob a convenience store because all of the cops are otherwise engaged.
Not only that, but tactically, once everybody was on that scene, if you look, all the cars were boxed in. And if there had been some other emergency, or even, let's say, God forsake, a terrorist attack,
yep.
How are these police officers going to get out of that situation?
Yeah, I think good questions, Kevin. Worthy questions, and thanks. Now, I've covered a lot of police stuff, talked to a lot of cops in my life, and we may be about to talk to some more, which I hope so. Here's my thought. Even with all of those officers glomming onto that chase, choosing to be a part of what might have been one of the most heavily attended police chases in recent Dallas history. That does not necessarily mean that every neighborhood within 5 miles of Dallas was completely without patrol officers. I don't think it was everybody. Did it dilute the manpower in some nearby neighborhoods? Probably. But how long was that going to take? You know, and conversely, if let's say there had been some call of some actual robbery, some actual serious event, well, then you got to have some people peel. We got to peel off the police chase and go back to the neighborhood and attend to that. So I think it is possible to overstate the degree to which other police work was left to lie fallow while 147 cops took part in the police chase to go get Mr. Juarez. That said, I don't think it's a zero point that the gentleman makes. That if you have the entire force, very understandably, saying we are going to get this guy. You know, I don't know what else happens the next few hours, but we are going to get this guy. Totally understand it. No one would begrudge it. But does that mean that there's other police work that's just not being done in some neighborhoods for the next few hours? A, is that a valid point? B, is that just kind of nitpicking? I don't know. I'll leave that to you. 866-660-5759. I'm Mark Davis. It's 722. Austin's own Carrie Rodriguez. A tune called Absence. A great album called She Ain't Me. Carrie Rodriguez, go get everything she ever did. It's a good idea. Time to let go. Coming up around the bend of our bottom of the hour pause, our chat with Mike Gallagher about various things in the news. I'll come into that segment with another female vocalist, an American icon born 101 years ago today. So we'll offer that share of musical love here in a second. There's something that is unfolding in Britain. I'll just take a moment here now. We'll be covering a little later on in our broadcast day. Have you heard of a little boy named Alfie Evans? Alfie Evans is almost 2 years old, and he is in Great Britain, and he has been living in a coma for well over a year. He has a mystery illness, a degenerative neurological condition. His hope for any type of normal life, don't get ahead of me, you know where this is going, right? Not only does he not have a real hope for a normal life, but hope for an actual life is very, very dim. Breathing on his own, he's been on breathing assistance, a breathing machine. It's Great Britain. It's that National Health Service. It's government health care. And they're saying, take this kid off. And the parents are saying, no, we want to fight for our boy's life, even if that life doesn't, necessarily involve, running around and playing soccer. And so a court battle is erupting every day. They took him off life support yesterday, and he's still here. And so the parents are fighting. The hospital is fighting. The government of Italy, they've granted him citizenship so that maybe he can be brought to a hospital in Rome that is willing to keep him alive, whereas the British hospital is not. So if you want to just keep track of that today, the Google search would be Alfie Evans, a beautiful, beautiful little boy I'm looking at right now. And boy, may God watch over this situation as well. Asking a lot of God this morning. We do every day. And the good news is it's never too much to ask. 866-660-5759. I'm Mark Davis on 660 AM, The Answer DFW, and Freedom 1160 San Antonio. It's 7:30. Gordon Griffin's in the newsroom.
The way you wear your hat, the way you sip your tea, the memory of all that.
I'm not planning this, but it's just working out that way. Amazing amazing songstresses. Is songstress, does that even work anymore? Yesterday, Barbara Streisand, which starts another entire talk show on her 76th birthday. Today, born 101 years ago, even though she passed away some years ago at age 79. Lady Ella Fitzgerald, born 101 years ago in Newport News, Virginia. So visiting the Ella Library is a good idea. Visiting Mike Gallagher, always a good idea. Good morning, sir.
Is Barbara Streisand really 76?
I know, isn't that crazy? Yep, sure. Gosh. Well, I mean, Funny Girl on Broadway was 1969.
I know. I don't want her to be 76.
Oh, when was the birthday, Mike?
Which one?
Yours.
We don't talk about my birthday. It's like Voldemort. It's the day that has no name.
I know.
I hate birthdays. And yesterday I forgot Eric Hansen's birthday, my long-suffering operations manager.
Oh, my gosh.
He, of course, is the guy that used to take days off from work to celebrate his birthday. I mean, are birthdays a big deal to you?
Not so much.
You have a young kid. You have a son.
Different. People's birthdays are a big deal to me. I celebrate him being 15. I celebrate Lisa's every November. Well, Lisa's and my birthday are 9 days apart, so that's kind of cool. I don't ever make it a big deal about me. I'm always, people's kindnesses are always nice. But I want to counsel you against, dude, you're younger than I am. You're vibrant. You're gonna outlive all of us, and you're going to be fine.
Yeah, but you know, where I'm feeling guilt is I'm so, and I mean this very bluntly, oblivious to everybody's birthday. I don't know when anybody's birthday is. I've missed my kid's birthday the other day. Trevor's birthday is, my second oldest, is 3 days before mine.
Yeah.
So you'd think, since I'm April 7th, I'd remember April 4th.
Yeah.
Completely went over my head. It's like, he's a grown man. Who would care?
I know.
Cares?
It's not like you're doing cake and taking him to the batting cage.
Right.
No, I know.
So I did what I always did, run off and get a gift card from Amex.
The belated birthday. Oh, okay, but did you go to the section of the store that features exclusively the belated birthday cards?
Well, I would if I live near the worst drugstore in the entire universe. They wouldn't have that card if you held a gun to the manager's head. I mean, they barely have
15 drugstores on every block in New York City. How bad can it be?
I know. And it's the biggest one. I'm not going to mention the brand. It's the weirdest thing how stuff here in Midtown Manhattan is so bad. I can't listen. When I spend a month in North Texas, I'm going to feel like I have literally gone
to
Oz. It's like life's going to be normal.
Freedom
bursting out
everywhere.
Freedom.
Weather's better.
Weather's great. Yeah. Chick-fil-A on every corner.
Yes.
I won't have to feel embarrassed to buy a Chick-fil-A meal.
Yep,
you know, like do that in the witness protection program, and because you know how us Christians are infiltrating
New
York.
That's right. It's a pernicious invasion in New York. Chick-fil-A hits Manhattan.
I'm counting the days. I already had my pillow mattress topper sent to Lance because I'm gonna have that at the hotel because I got to sleep on my pillow memory topper, my mattress topper. I got my costume measurement form yesterday by email.
How's that working?
That was fun. Yeah, it was good. Like picture the Goodyear blimp who has a weight problem. That's my dimensions
because
I'm measuring
man.
My. Yeah, a Michelin man. I'm sure the costumer's going, boy, aren't nicely. That's a big guy.
Yeah.
We got to put some pants. We got to sew some material together for his costume.
Is it nicely Johnson or Poppin' Fresh? We'll leave it to the audience.
Right, right. Is this Jabba the Hutt? What show are we in?
And for those wondering, because here comes Guys and Dolls at Lyric Stage June 8th, 9th, 10th. And we're going to have a big opening 6:60 a.m. The Answer opening night. Look for more details on that. I'll say hi to the crowd before the curtain goes up. You and I are going to do a meet and greet right after the curtain goes down.
I'm so excited.
It's going to be
so.
That'll be Friday, the 8th of June. Just love it.
And you have to know how excited they are at Lyric Stage that Mark Davis is going to be there and you're going to welcome the crowd.
Sure, that's
Friday night's our night. And I think we're putting together, I don't know if they finished it yet, but they're, so get listen for details on a discount for 6:60 a.m. The Answer listeners for Friday night, June the 8th.
So just keep that open.
But we'll have a meet and greet. Mark will be there. I can't wait.
And Mike rolls into town for the roughly 3 weeks prior, and we'll have this magic, and it sounds like we're in the same room right now, even though we're 1,500 miles apart, but we'll actually be in the same room for the last half of May and leading up to June 8th.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Thanks for doing this, Mark, and I can't wait to see you.
My great honor.
Going to be great. Lyricstage.org, by the way, for ticket information. All right, how's that blue wave working in Arizona last night, huh? Did you see?
Everything's relative. It was a narrow win, and all the headlines this morning say Democrats celebrating narrow GOP win. Whoa, what?
You want to know and there's a great example of that media narrative that's so important. Look at what's going on with this with Ronnie Jackson, right? But you know what they do every time they cover it, and okay, let's see if he's going to make the get it through the process. It sounds like the president's going to stand behind him. But have you noticed something about the media coverage? You know, the one thing they keep showing every single time any of the mainstream media covers this controversy.
The press conference where he spoke well of the president's health?
Every time. Right. Every single time. It's right. Like, let's mock him. And you could tell what a lighthearted moment it was.
Of course.
He said, oh, I told the president, if you've got a better diet, so he's gently chiding him, lay off the Big Macs. But if you had a better diet, you'd live to be 200. He's got great genes. And they mock him and ridicule him. Every time they play that, they think they're sticking a dagger in a different part of the body. And, of course, it backfires. I think people look at that and say, Why are you making fun of this guy? What's the problem?
Do you believe that the reason they're showing that is they're trying to establish a narrative in which Ronnie Jackson came out, said some nice things about the president. They imagine President Trump sitting there in his robe with the remote in his hand going, I like that guy. Let me give him a cabinet post.
Well, it seems to me they're just showing it because they want to embarrass him, and they can't believe anybody would say something so nice about him. I mean,
there must be something sinister afoot.
Yeah, it's sinister. He's in over his head. He's not capable of running the VA. And listen, I admit it raised my eyebrow a little bit. You know, I mean, he's been the personal physician to George W. Bush, to Barack Obama, now to President Trump.
They all love him.
It's a big bureaucracy, and I want the VA to run, and I trust President Trump's instincts on this. He must see something in this guy that says this admiral would be a perfect fit to turn around and fix our VA system.
And not everybody at the head of an organization needs to be a nuts and bolts micromanager. Maybe you're just the big vision person, the coach, the inspirer, the person who brings in a certain leadership style and a certain appeal that energizes those below you.
Bingo. 11:30 this morning, you're going to meet Dr. Jordan Peterson. He's the Canadian psychologist that many say is beating American pundits at their own game. He's the self-styled philosopher king, and he is politically incorrect. He's a clinical psychologist, professor at the University of Toronto, and I want you to meet him. We're going to interview him. He's been on Fox News a lot. He goes on Tucker Carlson quite a bit, and he's a pretty provocative figure. We're going to revisit the Fresno State professor. This lady is doubling down. Lord. She ain't going anywhere. She's not going anywhere.
All right, Mike.
And I just want to kind of, what do you think? And I've seen your tweets about
it. It is completely up to the university what to do with her. If they choose to keep her, great. We can then feel the way we want to feel about Fresno State. But what's driving me insane are the people, and I don't know if this is a certain odd bent of libertarianism. Guy Benson last night, whom I love.
I saw it last night.
All these conservatives who I think are just trying to score points for being open-minded, saying, oh, I disagree with her. She said terrible things. It's unbelievably hateful, but it's protected speech, and there's no way she should be fired. Mike, that's a crock. It's a crock.
We're not talking about sending her to jail.
Exactly.
It's not about her being handcuffed.
Of course she has free speech. Of course nobody's going to jail her for this. But this notion that free speech requires speech without consequence is insane.
That's the fascinating part about free speech. Too many people make the mistake, and I've really come around on this because you're right, and you've really educated me on this. Free speech doesn't mean there are no consequences, there's no accountability, and for some reason, a lot of people do the no accountability route with the free speech defense, and I think you make a good point. Here's what's being lost about her and this particular odious, nasty, vile human being. Somebody was trying to publish her office phone number online, and she thought she'd be clever and she'd say, hey, you can call me anytime. Here's my number. She tweeted out a number for a suicide prevention helpline, a hotline that got inundated with calls because people thought they were calling her. She did that on purpose. Meanwhile, somebody, I think it was in Arizona, if I'm not mistaken, the number that she gave out, it could be having a crisis, trying to call, and they can't get through because people are calling with this nonsense.
Yeah, go ahead, finish your sentence, and then
is that a fireable offense? Could that be an offense?
It's incredibly reckless. This having been said, and I think that we share a certain deep distaste for her, but let's not have everybody giving out her number so that everybody can harass her. That's just stupid high school stuff. But Rhonda Girard has done some hateful and horrible horrible things. She hopes that she can't wait to hear about the death of the rest of the Bushes so that they can meet an untimely end like so many Iraqis did, blah, blah, blah. I just imagine a professor saying something like that about the Obamas or the Clintons, and it would be a millisecond before that career ended.
You're so right. By the way, final note, one something else we're going to tackle today. Have you followed the latest expose of my friend and your friend, Sean Hannity? Have you seen
latest as in what?
As in his real estate holdings.
Oh, no.
Mark, take a gander at the Los Angeles Times.
Oh,
I think
my.
The Post. Now their latest gotcha for Sean,
yeah,
because they're out to get him,
yeah,
is that he's invested in a lot of real estate.
I'll bet he
in
is.
In fact, he's invested in real estate that has included, even, believe it or not, that had the process of some HUD-approved loans.
Okay.
Well, that, guess what? That's normal, and that's SOP. That's completely standard business practices. You look at the article because you see the headline. Oh, Sean Hannity with real estate dealings. I thought, uh-oh, what does this mean?
Right.
Read the whole article. You're like,
what's this?
Really?
Well,
that's it?
They're coming after him.
They're going after him.
You
look
betcha.
At Laura Ingraham. They've gone after her, and I don't know that they're done with her yet.
Her sponsors are great. Her ratings are up. And you know what else is up? NRA membership.
Oh my gosh.
Is that?
And that's another thing we're going to get to today. We're going to list how many contributions have been pouring in to the NRA. How about Kyle Kashuf, the conservative kid who went with his father to the gun range,
yep,
Friday night? He was yanked into the school security safety resource office yesterday like he did something wrong.
Yep.
And they're giving him the third degree and interrogating him and asking him about his dad and why are you doing this? And this is a pretty bright kid. I mean, a lot of these kids are bright. Most of them are wrong out of Parkland,
right,
on the issue of the Second Amendment. That's okay.
They're
bright.
Win
them over in the
battle.
They're
well spoken, you bet. Yep.
They're smart. Hey, well, David Hogg, his book deal, do you know when his book is going to be published?
What, like
are
tomorrow?
Are you ready for this? Yeah, June 5th.
Do you know
how long that is?
What's the turnaround on
months,
that?
Mm-hmm. 4 months from the Parkland mass shooting, this kid's publishing a book about how to, you know, grab our guns.
You know,
I mean,
but I heard. Okay.
Isn't that incredible?
Okay, and now here's the latest. Okay, we all, David Hogg drives us crazy, who love the Second Amendment, et cetera, et cetera. If you caught the controversy over the book title.
Oh, of course. And guess what? The controversy is correct. Tell a Jew that you're going to write a book about gun control called Never Again.
Okay,
I've got
a question. The book title
is
Hashtag Never Again, which was the hashtag after they established after that. A New Generation Draws the Line. And boy, you'll find no, please, all proper sensitivities to the Holocaust. Here's my language question. Is Never Again to be used by anybody for anything?
I know. Hallowed. I know what you're saying, Mark.
So, but is that really?
Because
if that's the case, okay, and I will abide by that. I'm just asking. Nobody, in any sense, when something happens, and I don't mean just in casual conversation, like, you know, where the way Judge Bork was handled, you know, we're never
right,
again
right.
on that.
No,
but this is a big hashtag, a big movement. For nobody should ever use never again as part of any big social movement or political movement. Because
no, I don't think that's it. That's not it.
It's not.
That's not
then,
it. I asked
what's,
a Jewish.
What's wrong?
I asked. The problem is, come up with a better title. A Jewish friend of mine said, "It's
well,
not
then,
that we're
then
saying
the answer is yes,
you
then,
can't
then.
Use." Well, he's saying, well, my friend said, "You can't use not. We're not saying don't use the phrase ever again. You can't. Well, these words are verboten."
Yeah,
but he's
not.
Saying, you know, gun control. Use a better title. Come up with a better title.
But,
come up with something.
That's a confusing answer. So
it's
either yes,
it's discretion.
Well, then why not? These kids, they're 1,000% wrong. But their never again invocation is we're never again going to allow school shootings to happen. Happen and we want, would we, okay, here's the ultimate test, we got to go, would anybody feel that kind of objection if it were used in a cause that we agreed with?
Well, that's a good question. That it's the tribalism aspect of this that probably comes to play, because I want to see, you know, I like to see these guys, you know, get as much criticism as possible, but I don't think ask your listeners.
I'm going to lovingly push back and say that if somebody has some big movement, some big thing they want to say, and their genuine point is that never again are we going to allow something to happen, that there should not be a Holocaust remembrance monopoly on that.
I don't think it's a monopoly. I think people are just saying, hey, let's use better judgment on this.
But
it's one of those things where you almost have to be in somebody else's shoes.
Oh, I do know that. Jewish people, that is a very sacred, very important phrase. All right, we'll be listening.
Right.
We will be
Happy
there.
Happy Wednesday.
Yes, sir.
Thank
Mike
you, sir.
Gallagher today, right after we're done on 660 AM, The Answer, and right around the bend on the Freedom 1160 San Antonio sister station, AM 930, The Answer. Okay. I'm Mark Davis, 752. Pardon the tiny, tiny window at the end, 660 AM, The Answer.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.